Let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight that that song not only speaks of the desire we have for those we love, for the children that we love, but it also, Lord, speaks of the love you have for us, for you did die for us. You paid the greatest price that anyone could pay. And you tell us that no greater love has the man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, for his family, for his wife, for her husband, for our children. I want to ask you tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in a fresh and very personal way as it relates to being a parent. And Father, I want to ask you tonight that you would give us the courage in a world that has gone crazy, a world that has gone mad, to stand up, to love our family, to love our children, and to do what's necessary to do to raise them for God. Father, I just thank you today that you empower us, you give us your Holy Spirit, you strengthen us, you give us your word, you give us your wisdom, you give us your guidance. Help us, dear God, to have the humility to follow it and to apply it. Our children's lives are at stake. So give us, Lord, the courage and the desire in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to first, I tend to forget this on this particular weekend because it's Mother's Day weekend, but we meet on Friday and not Sunday. And I wanted to take a moment and wish you mothers a very happy Mother's Day and Mother's Weekend. We owe you moms a debt of gratitude, to be honest, that we cannot pay. I've told this to my mother many, many times. You were in the trenches day in and day out. And for those of you that are just first-time mamas, you're beginning to realize, holy smoke, you don't just kind of shut the baby off or take the battery out for a little while. They can wake up at all hours of the night. They need you. They depend on you in so many ways. You are their life. And I just honor you this evening for your commitment and your dedication and your willingness to sacrifice so much of yourself for your children's lives. Thank you very much. The message I have tonight, I have been waiting all week to share it with you. It's entitled, The Duty of Parents. The Duty of Parents. And I believe God wants to use this in your life in a fresh way. What I try to do, we have two baby dedications a year, one in the fall and one in the spring. And so I always try to use that evening to focus when our hearts are soft and we see all those little babies and we just kind of fall in love again, to talk about parenting. There is no more significant role in your life than raising children. Obviously, the bond between mom and dad, husband and wife, is a sacred bond, and that role and that relationship that God has given to us is incredibly significant and, in fact, is the foundation for the children's lives. But when you look back on your life, I'll be 60 very soon. And a lot of years of my life have been lived. The single greatest thing that I look back on with satisfaction and joy is that God enabled Kathy and I to raise our children, to each come to know Jesus Christ, to get them prepared for life, and to help them follow Him. There is no other single thing that matters more in life than that. There's also no greater heartache than when your children go wayward. When your children go off and ruin or destroy their life or put you through years of hell because they were not prepared for life. The two duties of parents is summed up very simply. Prepare your kids for life. Prepare your kids for God. That sums up the whole duty and responsibility of mom and dad. It is our primary responsibility, and it involves so much more than an education. Today, so many parents throughout our country, they want to get their kid in the best school, they want to get them in the best college, and yet getting your children ready for life is so much more than education. It is the formation of their character. It is the formation of values and attributes that they will need in life to succeed as husband, wife, father, mother, employee, Christian, as a human being. In education, while it is important, it pales in comparison to a child who grows up educated but with no self-control, a child who grows up educated but with no humility, a child who grows up educated but with no respect for other people, a child who grows up educated but godless. We are seeking to form character in their life and to nurture and instill and pass on a real, genuine faith in God. And if you do those two things, I promise you, you will sit in your rocking chair as an older person with tremendous satisfaction. You could put me in front of a mobile home. Put me in a tiny house. You can have all your houses and all the nice stuff, but give me godly children. Because in the end, none of the rest matters. My children are either going to go with me to eternity, or they're going to spend eternity apart from me and apart from God. And I'll tell you, that brought a sacred and holy fear into my bones. When my first daughter was born, I was 23 years of age. I want to start with three important questions for all of us here to ponder. If you're single here tonight, realize that many of you someday are going to be a parent, and so these are very relevant to you. Please, I want you to think about these. You need to get an answer for these this weekend. You need to start the journey of getting an answer. Number one, do you want your child to be like you were when you were 18 years old? I want you to think back on your life right now, every one of you in this room. I want you to remember what you were like at 18. I'm not going to go into my description. You've heard some of my story before. It was not good. In fact, those of us who remember this song, the 60s and the 70s were the age of rebellion. But let me just tell you, if you think it's gotten better out there, we aren't living in the same world. Rebellion is what young people feed on today. Do you want your child to be like you were at 18 when they turn 18? If not, what are you going to do to ensure they aren't? What are you going to do to ensure they aren't? Number two, how does God want me to parent and raise and train my child? God has a lot to say about it. Did you know that? I've told you this before. I'm not making it up. 7 out of 10 Christians in America, 7 out of 10 own a Bible, but never read it. They never read it. Not seldom. They never read it. You cannot know how God wants you to raise your children. You cannot know the wisdom of God if you do not put your nose in the book. This book is life. There is life in these pages. There is peace and fulfillment in these pages. And the third question, how does God parent? I bet you never thought about that before. And we'll look at a scripture in a moment. How does God parent? We need to learn to study God and learn from Him. The Bible gives us answers to all these questions. The Bible reveals the characterological attributes of our Father God. The Bible teaches us how God works with us. The Bible teaches us wisdom and principles for raising our children. Proverbs has an awful lot to say about it. Ephesians commands fathers. Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them to obey my commands. None of us, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I'd like you to think about this tonight. This was ever present in my mind through the many, many, many years and decades of raising my family. None of us gets a second chance to do this well. You do not get a second chance to do this well. We need to do it well now. We need to grow wise now. Because any of you who have raised children or watched them grow, they just change before your eyes. And before you know it, boom, they're 9. And before you know it, bam, they're 15. And before you know it, they're out of your house. The rock, and I just want for those of you that are regular here to understand this, the rock is striving to build a culture and a fellowship of Christians where godly principles and biblical commands are practiced and lived out. A fellowship where we encourage and support one another in this pursuit. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we've been trying to do with all our Evergreen churches, with Urban, with The Rock, is to build a culture and a fellowship of Christians where godly principles and biblical commands are practiced and lived out, and we encourage one another and support one another and come alongside one another in that pursuit. I would like to pass on one primary biblical principle for you tonight. There are so many things I'd like to say, and if you're interested, I have a website entitled strongdisciple.com. There are over 26 series on parenting that I've done through the years that I would love for you to have the chance to hear if you want. So this will not be comprehensive tonight, but I want to pass on to you one very, very important thing. Do not fail to love your child enough to train and correct them. Do not fail to love your child enough to discipline and train and correct your child. Use your God-given authority in their lives for their ultimate good. I would like to read a passage to you tonight that is really the foundation of what I'm sharing with you this evening. It's found in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 4. And here we have the description of the fathering of God. The fathering of God. So Paul writes, "And you have entirely forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you, his children. My child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. Don't get discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. He corrects those that are his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his much loved child. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined in America? There are millions of them. The vast majority of children in America actually are not disciplined." I'll back that up with you in just a moment, because I'm sure many of you are like, he must have rocks for brains. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate and you are not really his child at all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined and corrected us, should we not all the more cheerfully, notice that, cheerfully submit? This was what I was always striving, Kathy and I, to build in our children. Cheerful submission. For if they do not learn to cheerfully submit to the loving guidance of mom and dad when they're 18, they will not cheerfully submit to the God of the universe, and their life will be ruined. Should we not cheerfully submit to the discipline of our Heavenly Father and live forever? Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years doing the best they knew how. But God's training and discipline is always right and good for us because it means we will share in his likeness and his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. That's what I mean. Most parents are unwilling to inflict pain in their children's lives. Why? Because we do not want to displease our children. The vast majority of American parents are not willing today to displease their children, to exercise loving, godly authority, God-given authority in their children's lives. No discipline is enjoyable at the time, but afterwards there will be the quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained by it. Now, I just love different versions of the Bible, and those of you that come here regularly know this. Listen to this version. It's called The Message. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through and all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourself, or have you forgotten how good parents treat their children and that God regards you as his children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. And don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you, training you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as his dear, precious children. This trouble you're in is not punishment. God does not punish you. I can honestly say you, I never punished my children. Never used that term. Punishment is trying to get them paid back something for something they did wrong. Never did that. I was training them, guiding them, correcting them. This trouble isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children, only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them, but God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. It's painful. Later on, of course, it pays off handsomely. For it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their life and in their relationship with God. The Bible says in the New International, I'm just going to read this last part. No discipline is pleasant at the time but painful. Later on, however, it produces the harvest of an upright life and peace for those who have been trained by it. We have an epidemic of young people today who are emotional basket cases. I'm going to give you a book recommendation tonight because I know you wonder, I wonder if Mark knows what he's talking about. Okay? First of all, I raise children. I work with people. It's what I do. I help parents. It's what I do. But there's a book. I want to ask you, humbly ask you, get this book. Read this book. It just came out in 2016. It's by Dr. Leonard Sachs. He was a practicing pediatrician for 25 years and a psychologist. He's traveled all over the world. He's done research all over. The things that he shares in this book will help you understand why I have told you what I have told you. It will give you a depth and a breadth of understanding of what we're dealing with today. I've read the book myself. I just finished it. I finished it in 4 days. I read it 2 weeks ago. It's fresh in my mind. And I can honestly say I highly recommend this book. There's maybe only a few of the things I would have added to the book. I do not even believe this man knows Jesus Christ. But the things you will find out and read, his comments on social media, his comments on the authority of parents, and how it's undermined by the peer groups of your children, will shock you, and I hope, by the grace of God, wake you up and realize that Mark is not the old-fashioned idiot that sometimes you might think he is. I mean that sincerely. I think the book will just affirm you, encourage you, strengthen you. It'll give you ammunition. It'll give you understanding. And it'll give you confidence in some of the things that you're learning here. I love reading this passage because it reminds me of God, of how God deals with me, that God uses his authority for my good, that God is training me. God wants my best, and as parents, we want our children's best. Our children must learn to submit to authority. I'll tell you a story. It happened just the other day. It's really sad. It's heartbreaking. And most people, when I tell you the story, you're probably not going to think of what it's the analysis that I arrived at of this story. So bear with me. My son-in-law, Mark, who was up here tonight with little Charlie, Mark and Jessica, he was driving to work. This was about 2 days ago. It was early in the morning, about 7:20. He was on Diffley Road. That's in Eagan. And he was driving up to get on Cedar to go north to get to Bloomington to go to work. The speed limit along there is 40 miles an hour. As we all know, speed signs are there for a reason. Someone in authority put the sign there. Now, I'm the first to admit, hey, I don't always like that. I don't always like it. And I'd be the first to also admit to you that over the years, I've had to train myself to submit to the authority of a sign that I think seems unreasonable. And as I've grown in my faith, I really mean this. As I've grown in my walk with God, I realize, you know what, Lord? I need to learn to submit to the authority that's around here, even if I don't agree with it or not. So Mark was driving two lanes on each side of the road. He's driving down Diffley Road, driving in his little car. And all of a sudden, he had to pull over. This woman came by in an SUV going at least 60, 70 miles an hour. Boom, like a bullet. There was a woman, 44-year-old woman, in a van, just beginning her day. She was taking the left turn like she needed to. And this woman slammed in her on Diffley Road, 40 miles an hour. That's the speed limit, going 70. It was earth-shattering. The woman's life will never be the same again. And a few hours later, Mark called. He was the witness because he saw the whole thing. The police interviewed him. And I happened to be on some errands, and I drove by 2 hours later, and the cars were still there. And I kid you not, I drove by, and I started to cry. That van was as if someone took an aluminum can and stomped in the middle almost all the way to the ground. The door she was sitting in, she was basically, you know, T-boned. Right where she sat, it was completely over to the other side of the car. You know why that happened? Because of one woman who refused to submit to authority. You can say she was in a rush to get to work, happened to be a teacher. You can make all kinds of excuses, but here's the simple law of life. If you don't learn to submit to authority, you're going to hurt other people and you're going to hurt yourself. And our children today, many children today in our society, have no respect for the authority of their parents. They have no respect for teachers. You talk to teachers. You talk to what they're dealing with today in the public school, and it is a travesty. And this man gets into that in this book. He gets into the over-medication. He's a doctor. The over-medication of our children today, because teachers are afraid. Where when I was going to a parent-teacher conference, my teacher would have looked at my mother and said, Mark has some behavioral problems, Mrs. Darling. He needs to learn more self-control. He needs to learn to pay attention. Today, this is the truth. He interviews lots and lots of teachers. They're afraid to use those words, and some of them get sued. Because parents want a pill. They want a pill. They want a pill. I'm telling you what you'll learn in this book. You'll be so glad you read it. It's called The Collapse of Parenting. The Collapse of Parenting. And thank you very much for asking me that. I do have it on the last page of my notes. So I was leading you in suspense. The Collapse of Parenting by Dr. Leonard Sachs, MD, PhD. 25 years pediatrician, counseled thousands and thousands and thousands of families. And it is, if it was not, I mean this sincerely, if it was not biblical, if I didn't think the things were almost right on biblically, I wouldn't recommend it to you. I think you'll just be incredibly grateful you read it. I want you to listen to this quote. This is something the Lord gave me as a young man as I was raising my children after I read Hebrews chapter 12. Hardship is essential for the full development of character. Children who are never forced to face certain daily rigors of life, never forced to sacrifice, to stick with hard things, are doomed by their parents to failure and frustration in life. I want to read really quick just the beginning of a few Proverbs. I was over my coffee this morning and I was taking note of this. This is in Proverbs chapter 2, 3, 4. I'm just going to read the beginning. My child, if you will accept my words and store up my commandments within you. Wait a minute. I didn't know we were to command our children. You know one of the comments Dr. Leonard Sachs makes? He looks at parents, some of the conferences he does, and he says, listen to me clearly, carefully. You need to learn to command your children. He said parents walk out right when he says that. We shouldn't command our children. Yes, you should. Should you be loving, kind, tender, thoughtful, understanding, empathetic, compassionate? Of course. Of course. But our children also need to learn to respond to our commands. Chapter 4, hear, O son, the instruction of a father. Listen carefully to your mother. Chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Chapter 5, my son, listen to my wisdom. Incline your ear to discernment. Obey my commands. Chapter 7, my son, keep my words and store my precepts within you. Keep my precepts and live, and my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your finger. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Take what I said, son. Cut it into your heart. We got kids today that think nothing of cutting. Woe that they would inscribe on their heart the teaching and commands of a godly mom or dad. And I realize many do not have that. Everything in this world will work to undermine and sabotage your God-given authority in your children's lives. Everything. Please do not forget that. The family bond, the family unit is incredibly important. And again, if you read this book, you'll gain some tremendous insights. It will help you. It will help you understand. It will help you understand how destructive social media can be in a teenager's life. It will help you understand how texting is allowing all of the peers of your children to inculcate and enculturate them, and the children's friends' opinion is more important to them than mom and dad's. That undermines your authority. And it will destroy the family bond. He'll give you all the data. He'll give you all the stats. But I knew this as a young man. My wife and I knew this as a young man. We knew it was extremely important. What was most important to our children was not friends, but family. Family. And the guidance of adults. Children cannot raise other children. And yet the number one influence today, and you find it in the book, but I've known it all along, in children's lives are other foolish children. I want to close with this passage in Joshua chapter 1, 8, and 9. God is speaking to Joshua, and this is what you're going to need, mom and dad. This is what you're going to need. I love these songs. This song Jeremy picked tonight, I climb a mountain, I die for you, I die for you. Baby, I love you. Children, I love you. Let me ask you this question. Do you love your child enough to have the courage to say no? No, sweetheart, you cannot have that. No, sweetheart, you can't do that. No, sweetheart, you can't go out there at 15 years old with the 18-year-old friends. No, you can't go to that party. And if they hate you or dislike you at the moment, they dislike you at the moment. Will you have the courage and the tenacity to guide them and direct them and do what's best for their ultimate good? God told Joshua, this book of the law, my word shall not depart from your mouth, Joshua, but you should meditate on it day and night. Day and night, think about it all the time. Think about it. Study it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. Therefore, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Moms and dads, God is with you. He is with you. Be strong for your children. Be courageous for your children. Don't be afraid of your children. Love them. Guide them. Shepherd them. Lead them. Correct them. Train them. Instruct them. Discipline them. So, two things I'd like for you to do. It's up to you. I'd like you to get the book and go to Amazon. It's $19.95. You can probably find it on other places, but $19.95. I would encourage you not to get it from the library because I put underlines on 80% of the pages. If you want to get anything out of it, you're going to have to underline, turn pages over, put a star by, write words in it. That's how you get something out of it. Okay? The second thing I'd like to ask you to do, it's totally up to you. I have a series I did almost 25 years ago or 20 called Preparing Your Kids for Life. You know what Dr. Leonard Sachs says near the end of his book? The number one priority of children is prepare your children for life. Well, Dr. Leonard Sachs, I said it before you wrote it. Just wanted you to know that, okay? Prepare your children for life. Prepare your children for God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight for the gift of children. I tell you, Lord, as I look back in my life, being a dad was the most wonderful privilege of my life. And I thank you, God, for the opportunity you gave me, that you gave me a wife, that you gave us children, that you kept us on the same page. Yep, we had our disagreements. We had to learn to submit to Jesus Christ. Boy, Lord, did I have to learn as a defiant young man myself to submit to the authority of God. And I am so glad that I learned. I am so glad that you were so patient with me. Give us the patience we need, the resolve we need, the courage we need, the determination we need, the fear of God that we need, the love of God that we need, and the love and devotion for our children's best interest. Bless every family here tonight, every family member, every friend of the family, Lord. Bless all these children. They're incredibly precious to us. They are eternal little souls. We pray that every one of them would be one to you and come to know you and follow you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the call, we will love our wives and children.